go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by Michael Bastash, one of the bright young stars in the journalistic firmament covering matters of interest to this program and our audience. He is a reporter for the Daily Caller, and he focuses on the energy beat in particular. And Michael, we've been talking throughout the program about energy and the implications of what the Saudis might be up to and so many other aspects of it. And I wanted to drill down with you on a couple of other topics. Welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, Frank.
It was a pleasure. Let me ask you about a story that you broke on a Department of Energy Inspector General audit of the resiliency, I guess, of a major part of the United States electric grid. Talk about that.
Yeah, so the Department of Energy did an audit on, I believe, the Western Area Power Association's their physical security of their grid. And it's pretty important that they do these kinds of audits, especially in the wake of a couple of years ago, California's substation that actually provides all the power to Silicon Valley was physically attacked by snipers, and they did, you know, millions of dollars in damage. And what the audit found was the grid isn't at, you know, it's not up to what the DOE considers safe, their standards. It was pretty lax. It was very easy to get into certain areas. They didn't have fencing. Just a lot of basic problems that would make it harder for someone to just go up to the grid and shoot it up with a gun or put a bomb on it or whatever.
To the extent that that is a problem, and the Department of Energy is apparently not addressing it adequately, Michael, it would seem as though, you know, there's a serious dereliction of duty here, especially, as you say, in the wake of a previous very close call on the major transformer substation outside of San Jose, the Metcalf substation. But is that the only example of this this kind of dereliction? I'm struck by a report that appeared recently. It was published in January, came out in the press, I think a week or two ago, as a restricted for official use only document, but nonetheless one that is in the public domain now, that says that there's a, according to the Department of Homeland Security, a low probability that any of the bad actors who could do so would use cyber warfare against our electric grid. In light of what we've seen with the Russians taking down the Ukrainian grid and the Iranians taking down the Turkish grid, how would you assess that characterization of the threat?
Yeah, and you know, you've cited two really strong examples that have recently occurred, especially in the Ukraine. What we had were Russian hackers making a wave of fake phone calls to this Ukrainian utility to distract them from what was going on in the, from them getting inside the grid and shutting it down temporarily. And I think that they may see this as a low threat because, you know, Russia and Ukraine, you know, probably it's easier for them to get into the grid because they're all linked up together. Same thing with the Turks and Iran. But, you know, it's still a very real possibility here. I mean, hackers can get in to our electric infrastructure, you know, if they're really determined and wanted to. I don't think that it would be a very hard thing for them to do. But, you know, it's interesting because it depends, the level of risk we have of something like that happening just depends on who you talk to. If you talk to someone who comes from a military perspective, they say, absolutely, this is a huge risk, and we need to spend money to secure the grid. If you talk to somebody who comes from the utility industry or even the government, they say generally that, no, this isn't that big of a problem. It could happen, but we don't really see this as a high risk. We think physical attacks are more likely to occur.
Yeah, but then, as you just said, they're not doing such a hot job of protecting against the physical attacks either. And then on top of all of that, Michael, there's the danger that we may face from the North Koreans or the Russians or the Chinese or probably the Iranians in short order, this threat of electromagnetic pulse attack. And if that isn't bad enough, even if nobody takes down our grid with one or the other of these means, there's the danger that in the not-too-distant future, the sun will do it. So I ask you, as a guy whose beat is about, you know, monitoring what's happening in this kind of space, are we, in fact, failing and wittingly failing to address known threats that could, in fact, bring about a world without America, as the Iranians are fond of saying, if one or the other of them should eventuate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what the DOE discovered shows that, you know, the government-run power association, at least for the West, was not taking physical grid security seriously enough. And look, if you've ever walked by the electrical grid, you know, you walk by substations all the time. They wouldn't be that necessarily that hard to get into. Anyone can climb a telephone pole and clip some wires, or, you know, walk into a substation and like lob some sort of explosive in there pretty easily. Just luckily for us, we live in a country that for a long time was really isolated from these kinds of attacks. We don't border Russia. We don't border Iran. We don't border North Korea or China or any of these countries that are extremely aggressive in asserting their power and who aren't afraid to use the weakness of a country's infrastructure against them. But that being said, I personally don't know how likely it is if an EMP attack or something happens, but we do know there are physical threats to the grid. Like I said, there was a sniper attack in California at the Metcalf substation. I mean, stuff like that that happens in the U.S.
We're not ruminating about the possibility. And you know, frankly, who knows the probability of an EMP, but we certainly know it's in the doctrine of a bunch of the countries that I've just mentioned to use it. But let me switch gears because we're almost out of time. Michael Bastash of The Daily Caller, and I want to touch on something else that you've been reporting on. The President of the United States, as you know, insists that these sorts of problems that we've been discussing are not the greatest threat we're facing as a nation, but rather it's climate change. You picked up on a very important contradictory opinion by a guy I regard fairly highly, retired Major General, United States Army, Robert Scales. Talk a bit about his assessment of this prospect that the president conjures up all the time, that, you know, if this is what's going to cause the next war is climate change.
Yeah, you know, for a long time, the Obama administration has been pushing this line that, and, you know, with more and more, like, urgency, you know, especially with his speech at the Coast Guard Academy, with John Kerry's remarks on how global warming and climate change made the Syrian drought, caused the Syrian drought, which, you know, sparked the Syrian civil war and led to the rise of ISIS. So you have a lot of these, like, kind of, like, horror scenarios where extreme weather unleashes, like, Islamic extremism or, you know, violent conflict throughout the world. And General Scales appeared before a committee recently and in Congress and basically kind of laid to rest all this. This is a guy who, you know, is a military historian, was in charge of writing, like, you know, U.S. military doctrine and stuff like that, was at the U.S. War College. And he basically kind of laid out that in the, you know, thousands of years of history of written warfare that we have, you know, environmental causes have never been the root cause of a war. They can contribute sometimes, make a bad situation worse, but they're not the root cause. The root cause always comes down to political, essentially political or like religious or cultural differences.
Yeah. People, in other words. Michael, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. We are hard out of time, but this is a subject that I look forward to returning to with you in the near future. Thanks again for what you're doing each day at The Daily Caller and for sharing with us some of the fruits of that work from time to time. Let's do it again soon. I hope the rest of you will join us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.